So I was wondering what to talk about today. It's a little bit of a freestanding topic. We finished kashrus, we finished the yoima. We're not ready yet for a new topic, and I'll probably be away the next one of the Sundays. So I thought that since Yetz Hashem won't be in next Shabbos, so we'll give a little bit of a heads up to Parshas Ekev Shiur, and it's also a little bit related to Yonah Diyom in terms of the shul. So we had some fascinating Hilchos Mezuzah Shilas that came up over the last 48 hours or so. So I'll try to give some of the Rashi Prakim now. Maybe at some point we'll have a grand tour of Mezuzahs in general, but at least you'll have the heads up as to what some of the Shilas were. So one of the interesting issues that came up throughout the course of some of the Mezuzahs that are up, and in fact, not all the Mezuzahs are up, because we'll explain that as we go along, which parts of the shul are still, I think, construction sites, as they say, which don't necessarily need the Mezuzah. But one of the interesting shadows that constantly kept on coming up in terms of the shul, in terms of our own homes, are the issue what's called the Beis Otzar. The Gemara Maseches Yuma has a machlokes at Tanoim about whether a Beis Otzar is chayav mezuzah. Generally speaking, the rule is that a makom dira is obligated in mezuzah. So dira is usually defined in halacha as places where a person eats, a place where a person sleeps, a person does other kinds of dira-related activities. Those are rooms that are considered to be Beis Secha, those houses, those rooms are obligated to mezuzah. What if a person just simply stores things there and doesn't really plan on living there altogether? That's what's called the Beis Otzar. So there's Machlekes in the Gemara, whether Beis Otzar is Chayv or Mezuzah, Machlekes and Rishonim, how we paskin. So Shulchan Aruch, it's paskin, unequivocally that a Beis Otzar is Chayv or Mezuzah, to such an extent that Rabbi Kivega points out that this is one of the examples that we don't apply the rule, even of Safik Brachas Lahokel. Usually when you have a shayla, in Yechus Mezuzah, and other areas of halacha, so when you deal with the deraisa, we're going to say sofek lahach there, we're going to tell you to do the mitzvah, but without a bracha. Let's say you have a room, there's a shayla where it's chayv mezuzah. Let's say, Moshe, you have a room without a door. So according to the Rambam, a room without a door is not chayv mezuzah. That's not called beisecha visharecha. In order to be called the shar, so it's not enough just to be a pesach. That's what the Rambam writes. There's a difference between a pesach and a shar. A pesach is better. It's a pesach. It means you have two mezuzahs in a mashkov, that's a Pesach. But a shahr means like a gate that's closed up. A very poor shahr, you can't close it. So since the Torah depicts the mitzvah mezuzah as being a bias and a shahr rolled into one, so unless it has a door, it's going to be potter. And most of the Rishonim disagree. Most of the Rishonim say there is no such halacha. Rambam got it by his unique way of reading a certain Gemara Maseches Menachos, and therefore Shulchan Aruch it's quoted that's a stake in the din. We're not sure whether doorways without doors are obligated to mezuzah. Since mezuzah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, so we have to be machor, you have to put it up, misafek. But the shach points out we don't recite a bracha on it. That's what the Pesach Teshuva quotes of a chavarim will say, that if you're renting a house and it's only a derabban anyway, so as a sake of derabban l'kulos, maybe you have a right to rely on the Rambam, not to put up mezuzahs l'gamri, any doorways without doors. That's not the midrash. Most people don't follow that practice. But I remember in Rosh Kolel, so some of you may remember, there's a... When you go up the steps, you're coming down, you know, from the Chadar Ochel, from the kitchen area, you go up the steps to the Beis Medrash. So there used to be, there is still a doorway there. It used to not have a door. I don't know if it was before your time, probably. So you don't even have a door. So in my early years, it didn't have a door. And then one day, they came, they put up the kind of a door. So the Hicks came, and I'm sure 30 seconds of the day, they put up a door. So it was a whole tanram at the time about whether we have to take off the mezuzah, put the mezuzah back on again, shout taslam and also. So remember, Rabbi Sif at the time, he was the senior rav in the Kol. He was so excited. He was just jumping for joy at the shiloh. The Pesach Teshuva was chavastas, but the door was out, the door was maisel there. But bottom line is that our minhag is that we put up mezuzahs on doorways without doors, even if it's probably just rented, we put it up without making a bracha. So when it comes to that kind of a suffix, we say, that's a real bona fide suffix, the Rambam Shita, that's a real, real Shita, and therefore, suffix, we're not going to make a bracha. When it comes to a base oitzer, so Rabbi Kivega points out, it's not even a suffix. It's a funny thing, because the Rambam also holds that as bottom. So Rabbi Kivega says, that's not a suffix. How do you know whether something's called a suffix or not? If the Shulchan Aruch bothers to quote it. If the Shulchan Aruch says, v'yesh b'shoimu that it's bottom, now just wipe the suffix. That's already a fake in the dina. And then we apply the rule, you do the mitzvah without making a bracha. The Shulchan Aruch didn't even quote it. So it got lost in the shuffle. The days of Rishonim didn't make it to Tzvat, to the 1500s. So that's already a suffix. That's not, just because he's a lone sheet to tucked away somewhere in the Rishon, that's not even called a suffix. And therefore, on the base of Oitza, one should recite a bracha. So base of Oitza is chayav. So the question is, what exactly is considered to be a base of Oitza? We need to draw the line. What's considered to be a base of Oitza? So in the days of Chazal, a base of Oitza usually was like people kept their grain stored there, the wine stored there, the olive oil stored there. That was a classic Beis Oitza. Today, most of us don't keep our grain and our olive oil, that kind of stuff stored. So very often, we have basically, let's say, garages. It presents a garage. No one's living in the garage. No one's eating in the garage or sleeping in the garage. But you have a lot of stuff stored in the garage. Some people actually, in the old days, used to store their cars in the garage. It's not so common anymore. But people store their car. They store their other stuff. They have their, all the leftover food, all the cereals, all the whatever stuff they have tucked away. And they have their extra freezers in the garage. So that's a classic basic item. So one really should have a mezuzah on those kinds of rooms. So what if you have a Beis Otzar that it's true there are things there, but you never really go there. It's not a kind of a place of storage that you go and you actually walk in all the time to get stuff. It's not that image of I'm going to get my wine, get my oil, etc. So the Chavis Adar, the classic Sefer of Zizek quotes, many poskim say, that's not even a Beis Otzar. Beis Otzar means that your mamash is going to go there periodically, regularly. You're going to go pick up some stuff there. Once in a year, you're going to go... do something there, that's not considered a Beis Oitza. So we have that child in a lot of kinds of houses. Also, sometimes people have rooms, say you have your boiler room, you have other rooms, that there are things, technically, if you think about it, there are things sometimes there, but the mice, nobody ever goes there. Once in a blue moon, you go there to pick up something. So those kinds of rooms are probably both. So we had a fascinating Shiloh. That question was raised, we're not the first people to realize the Shiloh. If you have a very, very big refrigerator, so is that considered to be a Beis Oitza? So it has a door, there's a doorway, and you walk in, and there's a lot of food stored. Right now, there's nothing stored in it, but in theory, you would have a lot of food stored in the refrigerator. So now we have a major refrigerator area. Is that considered to be a Beis Oitza or not? So on Thursday night, when we were putting up mezuzahs, so I didn't remember. So I remember it was a shayla. I didn't remember what the had a mechriyah and the shayla. So I said, okay, meanwhile, there's nothing in it yet. So we'll hold off. There's still nothing in it yet, but we'll hold off on that, on the shayla. So I took a look at the Sefer Chavos Adar on Friday morning. So he quotes Acharonim who write that a refrigerator is not considered to be a Beis Oitzer. Why? Because the whole idea of a Beis Oitzer is that I'm using it for my dira purposes. So even though I'm not literally eating and sleeping in this particular area, but I could, means I go in to get my stuff from the garage, I have my food there, I could theoretically eat there, I could use it, people sometimes use it as a makom dira, so that's considered to be a Beis Oitza, that's considered to be part of my dira. If you have a Beis Oitza like a refrigerator, I'm sure who in the world's going to go live in the refrigerator? So someone was ma'ayur that this past Shabbos, there probably would have been a lot of people very, very more willing to live in the refrigerator than in other places. So I thought the Alpha Pichain, that's once a year, get a 95-degree Shabbos at the Yesh Lokal. So the Maisa, as of now, there is no mezuzah on the refrigerator in our Torah. We are not expecting it in the near future to put one out. Yeah, so the question is, we generally don't, you know, run around putting up mezuzahs in places that are potter, even though I'll point out there are some places in the shul that are potter and celeb mezuzahs, but we'll point that. We generally try whatever the din is. I mean, I'm looking to put up, so you're not looking to put up. We had another interesting Beis Otzer application, which is part of a more general question, probably the most important question that we had on Thursday night was, when exactly do you put up mezuzahs? So you're walking a little bit of a tightrope in Uchus mezuzahs. On the one hand, once you're chayiv, so you're supposed to do it, you're supposed to do a mitzvah right away, you're supposed to raise a with the mitzvah. Once you become chayiv, you're supposed to put mezuzahs up. On the other hand, you don't really want to put the mezuzahs up to, let's say, 6 months ago, we put up all the mezuzahs. So the person says, it's also not right. If it's not a Beis Adira, if you're not chayiv yet, so there are two issues. First of all, there may be a slight issue of tassavim and asoi. You're not supposed to put up a mezuzah on a door. Let's say you have a doorway. The mashal according to the Rambam, without a door, it's not chayav mezuzah. So you can put up the mezuzah, then you put up the door afterwards. So according to the Rambam, you have to take the mezuzah off and put it back on again, because you're not allowed to put up a mezuzah until it's mamash chayav. So that's a question. Let's say I have a house. It's chayav mezuzah in the sense of it has its doorways. It's got all the shoes. It's got everything ready. The mice, you haven't moved in yet. Tafas, it's mechusa the gaffer, not mechusa the chefza. So is that called tassavim and osui? So pashim pshat, that's not even called tassavim and osui. That, according to simple pshat and halacha, that may not necessarily be a problem. And others are not 100% sure about that. But other posts can raise a question in terms of brachas. Can I really make a bracha? The mice are chayav mitzvah, yeah. So can I really make a bracha? So there is a toisus in the Sechus Chulin that talks about if you have let's say I rent the house, that's less than 30 days. If you own a house, then you have to put up right away. But if you rent the house out of Eretz Yisrael, then you have 30 days to put up the mezuzah. So let's say you want to put it up first. You want to put mezuzah on day 15. You're not mechuyif to. So Tosha says, a shalik, can you make a bracha now? So Tosha says, maybe it's like an Eina Mitzuv of Yosef. Tosha compares it to a woman making a bracha. So strange, a dimion. So Tosha says, maybe you can, maybe you can, maybe you can, maybe you can. And then Tosha says, I'm a bracha lives it. So Tosha leaves it hanging. So the later Acharon and Hilchos Mezuzah, right, it's not really right. Because then when day 31 comes and you really chayav, so you lost the opportunity to make the bracha b'shas chiyuv. So we don't really want to make the bracha too early. On the other hand, we don't want to dray around and be chayav for hours on end without putting up the mezuzah. So you walk a little bit of a funnier tightrope. So again, what the practice that I do, it's not halacha. It's not, I don't want people to think shem yom ha-tavim b'halacha nerves. It's not like halacha moshe Sinai. But I always thought that the best eitz is to mamash make yourself chayav. It's when you're all ready to go, you're ready to move in. So you should do up some ma'isadira for 1 second. You do make believe a half baked ma'isadira and join. So that's what we did here 18 years ago when we moved into this building. So we were davening. Those remember? Anyone maybe Ronnie really remembers this history, but we were davening here for about 3-4 weeks before we actually moved. We were still living across the street because the house part wasn't 100% done. So the shul was already functioning, and we moved in erev sukkis. So mamash mamash erev sukkis. So I ran around the house putting up all the mezuzahs. But I wanted to really be a chayav. So even though we were bringing stuff in, and we had been storing stuff ready for months, Poskim say that's not really a base oitzah yet. It's only a base oitzah when you're living there, and you're using the rooms as base oitzahs. The fact that you happen to have your box of farm stored in what's going to become your living room, that's not really a dira. That's just simply storage. Not halachic storage. That's physical storage, not halachic storage. So I wanted there should be a ma'ase dira. So we're a movie sign. I still have this image in my mind, literally. We're schlepping stuff across the street. We were the movie company. We were just carrying stuff across the entire the Arab circus, schlepping, 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 schlepping. And then it was about 4:30 in the afternoon when it says Atkan Velo Yaiser. We still had stuff there. We probably still have stuff there. I remember we said, okay, we're going to make an official Maisadira here. So it was Arab Yontif. There was a potato club floating around. So I felt I'm entitled to it. Usually my wife makes a potato club, then everyone moves into town. So we moved in, so I was allowed to take the potato club. So I remember I sat down in the dining room there. I ate one piece of potato club. It's an official achila. Achila is considered to be a deal. I wasn't machmir to wash. It was Erev Sukkos already. I was, a piece of potato club, kachava. So I made a deer and then I ran around putting up all the scissors. So somebody, when we were talking this a couple of days ago about putting up the mezuzah on Thursday night, so somebody remembered the story. So I come and we came Thursday night, a couple of guys were helping us putting up the mezuzahs. There was a potato kugel there. It wasn't the same one from 18 years ago, but a potato kugel. And then I guess they got a little firmer now. Yeah. There were some other things to supplement that people hung the whole day after Tisha B'Av, so there was a whole lot of malcha, a little spread. So we made a very, very quick ma'aseh dira. We sat down, and we ate, and tried to convey a mokum, that this was a mokum dira, and we started with the mezuzah. So a mokum dira, it's a shul, mokum dira. So the most chayav of all the rooms is the downstairs, is the social room. As everybody noticed, everyone was definitely there. Everyone had a lot of food there on Shabbos. So that's for sure mokum dira. So we that's where we started the mezuzah. That was the first one, the Elishum Sofik. That room is considered to be a mokum dira. A lot of people are reading, and people are spending time. So that was for sure chayev, and we started worked our way backwards from there to all the other places. Again, so that idea of you want to you want to make sure that you've kind of walked that tightrope and get the chiyuv, and it's not the ik mikra, the ik mikra then you can find the business open beforehand also. But the shal a little bit of a question in terms of the bracha. So it touched on the issue of this eitzer as follows. So when we were going around and looking at the which rooms the business is on, so we got to the rabbi's study. So I looked into the rabbi's office, the rabbi's study, and I see a bar rake in my there. So I said, I'm going to put up a mezuzah there. I said, what am I going to do here? Well, eat a baby, he's technical. So it didn't make any sense. So I turned to one of the guys. I said, what do we do until the desk, until this becomes functional? What are we doing? So I said, well, we're using it for storage. I said, great, we're using it as a base item, but there's nothing in here yet. So I asked Josh, what's going in over Shabbos? So he said, chairs. So I said, good, bring in one chair right now. So he yanks the chair from the shul, puts it down. I said, good, we're officially using this as storage. This is the storage room for all the chairs for the next couple of weeks. So this is our base answer. So as soon as we had one chair stored in there, then we put up mezuzahs and kedasach. It probably wasn't even necessary because we had already made a bracha on the first one. So it wasn't even such a chash, but it made for excitement for the... If you missed it, don't worry. It wasn't like that exciting. We got a couple of clips on the pictures, and it was 12 o'clock at night, and you were tired. I was also tired. So don't worry about it. You didn't miss the most exciting thing in our Torah history. Okay. Anyway, you missed a piece of potato kugel on Mitzvah Tisha B'Av and the rabbi putting up mitzvahs maybe on freezers. Okay. Sure. Back to the story. So, but there were a couple of interesting shailos that did come up during the course of our tour of Hilchos Mezuzos. So one of the issues that always comes up is bein mishuls, bein behouses, in terms of positioning of the mezuzah properly on the doorway. So the Gemara says that when you put up a mezuzah, it's supposed to be begoiva, it's supposed to be on the top or higher part of the doorpost. So what is considered to be begoiva? So the Gemara says that it's shlisha elyon, you have to divide up measure out the mezuzah. And the top third is considered to be begoiva. It's funny because it's a little bit, it's almost like an optical illusion. You would be shocked as to where the top third starts in the doorway. If you go ahead and get home, take a tape measure, you'd be shocked. It's significantly lower than you actually think it is. I'm not sure exactly why that happens, but that's, if you just measure it out, it looks to you like it's almost halfway, but it's already in the top third. So the din is that you can put it up in the top third. Where in the top third? So that's a big machlekes. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Mishnah will say, "B'tchila shlish elyon." It's supposed to be on the very, very beginning where the top third starts. That's where the mezuzah is supposed to go. And the Shach writes in the Nekudas HaKasef that he's looking around the doorways, and in Vilna where he lived, he says, that's not true. Nobody puts it there. Everyone's putting it up a little bit higher. So he says he thinks that the Igra then is that anywhere in the Shlish Elyon, the Rambam has a losha with Tchil Shlish Elyon, the Shach says, Lohel Tvam Elyon, there's no such halacha. And no Goyim to put it a little bit higher. So Yesh V'Yesh, a different practice today. So there are some people who follow what the Shulchan Aruch says, but Tchil Shlish Elyon, the Rambam's briskers, they put a mamish at the, they measure with it, come with the tape measure at the beginning of the Chilush L'Shel. So if you ever go to some people's houses, the mezuzahs look very, very low. So it's either one of two things. Either the person doesn't know the din, or the person that does know the din, and they're so mocked, but to get the Chilush L'Shel, most people don't do that. Most people just pick anywhere in the top third that looks like, it's a nice looking height, a shoulder height, approximately from the mezuzah. So that's good enough. So that's what we did in the Shulman, so mocked, but to sit with the tape measures to get on the dot, the Chilush L'Shel, anyway, the Chilush L'Shel is okay. But now you run into a big problem, because if it's below the Shlish Elyon, it's not going to be good. Even with the Evan, it wouldn't be good. So now you have a big shot. What if you have a very, very high door? So where does it go? So you notice the main door going into the shul, into the whole building, is rather high. And the Shlish Elyon would require your ladder to get all the way to the top. So that's a big machlekes. What do you do when you have one of these humongous heights of doorways? Where do they go? So the Pashim Shal Shulchan Aruch writes, the Shlish Elyon. He doesn't say if it's 100 feet or 10 feet. It's the Shlish Elyon. Fish got to climb up on a ladder. So the other Acharonim, the Shachat, asks Kodi Rishami. The Rishami says that the mezuzah should always be a shoulder height. It has to be connected like Seifayim. And the Acharonim interpret that Rishami to mean that even though the doorway is very, very high, and according to the regular rules of mezuzah, it should have been higher, but that trumps everything. You can't have a mezuzah, the guy can't. He needs a telescope to see the mezuzah, is that's not shy. So the mezuzah has to be connected high level, connected like Sifayim, etc. So do we paskin that way? So that's a little bit of a question. The later poskim, so it doesn't say this in the Bavli anywhere. It says in the Rishalmi, Shukroch doesn't quote it, later Chorim to quote it. So most of the poskim seem to follow this. Seems to be the common practice to put the mezuzahs low, even though you have these kinds of doorways that are very, very, very high and impossible to get to Shlish Elyon normally, and no one's going to be able to ever see the mezuzah anyway if you're going to put it 50 feet up. So now, I think most places do have the custom that they put it shoulder heights. That's what we did over here. But there are people who disagree. There are some who have mezuzahs all the way up. If Rona, maybe if you've been in Camp Monk recently, or your kids have been up there anymore, they used to go there, no? Right, so I don't know if you remember, there's a tremendous, anybody ever go to Camp Monk? There's a tremendous entrance where they used to, unless they changed it in the last 40 years. There's a tremendous gate when you come in. Do you remember where the mezuzah is? Okay, so next time you have to be up there. Last I remember, the mezuzah is all the way, all the way, all the way up. I think Rav Cohen was still goes to Monk. I guess he must have held that way. So again, things may have changed. I haven't been a Camp Monk in about 40 years, but last I remember, so that was one of the mezuzahs that was all the way to the top. The other person who I remember, if I'm not mistaken, I think George Lintz had also had, right? He also had a mezuzah all the way to the top. I can tell you that's not the Minhag Olam, because out of all the mezuzahs I've seen in the last 50 plus years, the only two that I remember were actually there.
One, two mezuzahs.
You're not supposed to have two mezuzahs, no. It's a little bit of a shalom al-taisif. But sometimes you have a situation where a person, there's like an old mezuzah, guy mezuzah, they push, can't get the mezuzah off, and they really think the mezuzah is puzzle. So if the mezuzah is really, really puzzle, so then you can have it. It doesn't count, but if you have two kosher mezuzahs on the same door, shayla, the achronim have a shayla, because the tshuva quotes the shayla of Baltos. I remember in Marsha Kolom, so there was that same door where we had issues with going up to the Beis Medrash, there was an old mezuzah there from who knows, Dairis, and they were trying to get it off once. No one suspected it was really kosher. I don't know what happened. They were yanking, yeah, they couldn't pull off. So somebody said, okay, forget about pulling off, we'll just put up another one. So for about a day or so, there were two mezuzahs on the door. So it was a whole tataram in the kol about it. It's a shalom b'taisif. It wasn't b'taisif sofa, it's b'taisif sofa, there's no b'taisif sofik. Sleeping in the sukkah shmini ateres and chutzlah, all kind of tirahs were going on about when you do a whole sofa and mitzvah, let's say they sofik, is that really called osav? Everyone told us. So I remember Rabbi Sif at the time also. I remember I'm standing with him next to that doorway. I spent like most of that summer standing next to that doorway. I remember he said to me, he said, we have to take down the other mezuzah. You can't have two mezuzahs. Forget about b'taisif. We look like we're a bunch of morons. That's what he said. You go to the base manager and two mezuzahs. So he was my career. He took it off. Parents come visiting today. It doesn't look great. One of the shahs that comes up uniquely to a shul is, does the shul even need a mezuzah altogether? So that's a big question. When I say a shul, I don't mean the social law, I don't mean the rabbi's study, and I don't mean whatever the room, storage room, the shul proper, the sanctuary of the shul. Does the sanctuary of the shul need a mezuzah? So the answer to that question is no. That beaker, then it doesn't really need a mezuzah. That's a fair in Shulchan Aruch. That a basic Knesset proper doesn't require a mezuzah. So sometimes you have a shul that doubles as a makom dira also. So those for sure, let's say this room, for sure needs a mezuzah. And I think we've noticed over the last 18 years, we've had one or two food events over here. So this is for sure considered to be a makom dira. So definitely need a mezuzah here. But in Shem of the new shul, so I think I heard an announcement yesterday about no food. And I can't say that nobody ate a candy yesterday that was thrown, but in theory that was the announcement. So it's not really supposed to be a makom dira, it's supposed to be a makom of kedusha, makom of davening. So a makom of tefillah really doesn't require a mezuzah. So if you look around, different shuls, so different shuls do different things. So some shuls follow what it says, shuvroch, that's no mezuzah. And I don't think it's a little Riverdale, there's no mezuzah going into the sanctuary plan. You look around most shuls today, I think think about your old shuls, though. Most of the shuls have mezuzah, nice, and most of the shuls have mezuzah. I think Beth Abraham have, right? I think they have mezuzahs. I think,
in the
Makshay,
where you spoke
on saying they're not Bishamish. That's the din. The Yemes is the din. But somehow, when both of the Yemes is, do you remember? In the sanctuary, going in there?
Yeah.
In the sanctuary, yeah. Mice, everybody does it. I was a couple of weeks ago, and we were trying to count how many doors we needed for Mizuzah. So, I was hemming and hawing, should we put up on the Shalash? I was like, even though I know the din is, I know it's part of it. So I happened to be upset, I think it's an important Rabbi Sachs shul. So I know we were looking at a lot of the construction of Rabbi Sachs shul. We were like looking at certain models that. So I said, oh, the mezuzah in Rabbi Sachs shul also. So no. So the mice for a couple extra $100, we threw in a few extra mezuzahs for the shul proper. But even though a shul doesn't really need a base medrash, it's a little bit more complicated because the base medrash is a little bit more of a dira than a makom than a basic knesses. Technically speaking, in a shul, something that's really mamash miyuchad is a shul, you're not really supposed to eat, you're not supposed to drink. But a base medrash, you're really allowed to do something. It's really just a base medrash. That's a makom dira. Shift chav v'secha. It's a drash yesterday. It's supposed to be in the base medrash like your home. Don't take that out of context. So you're allowed to eat a little bit. So on a base medrash, there's a big machlokes rishonim whether it requires a mezuzah. There was a whole story that appears in the Rishonim. I think Maamar Rutenberg, if I'm not mistaken, that Maamar Rutenberg writes that at first in his base medrash, they didn't have a mezuzah because the other was really potter, and then there was some mice happened. And something out of the realm of regular Hilchos Mezuzah. Some mice happened that he felt maybe should have Mezuzah in the base. I don't know exactly what happened. Mice, if you go back to Rutenberg and you find the base Medrash, the Maamar Rutenberg, I think as of now, as of 800 years ago, there were Mezuzah. So that's the Minig. And but the Medrash, we definitely put in Mezuzah. And Shuls, things that are Mamash, Yuchel, the Kach, has only for Shuls, so then we don't. Sometimes you have a little bit of both. A lot of places that are both Shuls and base Medrash. So you have to figure out what's it called. Is it really base Medrash? Is it really basic Knesset? One of the shailas that kept on coming up, and it's a very common shaila that comes up in people's homes as well, is that's the size of the room. So we spoke about this many times about in order to be chayav mezuzah, so the Gemara says it has to be dalet by dalet. The Gemara says we have a tradition in Pashas, Zalach, Mosh, Masinai, that the definition of a bayis in Kol Tarkula is 4 amas by 4 amas. The Gemara raised the question at the beginning of Masechet Sukkah, how does that spill over to Chesukah? So the Gemara puts one time, Rabbi Danosu, who said that's the Shia for Sukkah also. It's got to be Dal Hamas by Dal Hamas, so we don't pass like that. The Gemara says the reason why we don't pass like that is because we hold that Sukkah is a Diris Aroi, it's not a Diris Keva. A Diris Keva, like a house, as you live in all the time, that's a Shia of Dal by Dal, a Diris Aroi, so the Shia is much less. What's the Shia? So the Gemara says for a Sukkah, it just has to be big enough to fit inside. You don't have to make yourself comfortable inside. You have to be able to feel a little comfortable in the but you don't have to have a house like you can live in the whole year. You have to be able to basically fit into the sukkah. So the Gemara says, so how much is that to be able to fit into the sukkah? So the Gemara says, that person takes up about an amma. It's interesting. The Gemara says, you need an amma this way and an amma that way. Maybe that's because it's on sukkah. It's a little too much in the other direction. But the Gemara says, you need an amma in both directions to fit in. And that's what Beis Hillel's opinion was. That's all it has to be 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim. And then Bishamai said, no, you have to have a place to put your table down because it has to be Makom Dira. So you have to put your table down also. So that's a machlekes rishon. The Bishamai mean that they're Aisa Drabbanan. So this the Gemara says in the Sabinim HaSechusukah, this is one of the very few cases that we follow Bishamai. So we pass like Bishamai that we don't follow Rabbi Narasi and we don't follow Beis Hillel. We pass like Bishamai. It's a strange psak. We pass in the Shia of HaSukah 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. It's a funny thing because the Rambam, in his introduction to Bereshit Mishnayos, has a klal, and he elaborates upon this in Hilchos Mamrim. He says that whenever something is an absolute halacha, Moshe Masinai, lo nafal b'machlokes. There was never a machlokes about whether tefillin has to be black, there was no machlokes about shechted animals, there was no machlokes about whatever the basic tzuras of certain mitzvahs are, whenever it's pure halacha, Moshe Masinai, lo nafal b'machlokes b'yaylam. So the Rambam writes in his introduction to Bereshit Mishnayos that the size of a sukkah, that's halacha Moshe Masinai. A very strange Rambam. The Gemara quotes 3 different opinions about what the Shia was, whether it's 6, 7, or 4 amas. So it's a very, very difficult Rambam. What the Rambam meant, the Rambam himself has that klal. The Rambam cites that klal. It's a very, very difficult Rambam in his act on Persian Shias. But whatever the case is, we pass that the Shia of a Sukkah is not like the same as a Bayis, but a Bayis. So the Shia is Dal Amas Bahia, Dal Amas. That's what the Gemara says. In Masechus Yuma, that's the bare bone minimum Shia to be Chayef in Mezuzah. There is a big machlekes Rishonim. How do you calculate Dal Amas by Dal Amas? Is that a question of area? Is that a question of literally dimensions of 4 by 4? But if you have 8 by 2, you have a 16 by 1. So is that considered to be Chayef Mezuzah or not? So that was a big question. So the Chazon Ish said that the Igret, then it's got to be Dal by Dal. It's got to be able to take a block of 4 amas by 4 amas, plop it into an area, and then only then is that room going to be Chayef. So we had one of the base items, one of the storage rooms in the shul. So it was very, very close. So I wanted to take out. It's like, you know, when you measure for the first yard, for the first down. So you have to bring out the tape measures. You have to make sure, you know, to the drop. So I had Josh was just holding the tape measure at one end. And I was holding the tape measure at the second. What numbers are we looking for? How are we even measuring down amas with down amas? So that's also a big, big machlokes. So I remember 1 year, Rabbi Will accept us. He said, an amah is 21.6 inches, like a Ramesh Shia, Bain Lakula, Bain Lachumah. So that was his Achra 40 years ago, Moshe. I don't know if he changed since then. That was his Achra, Bain Lakula, Bain Lachumah, 21 like Ramesh. How did Ramesh get to the number? So Ramesh got to the number in the easiest way possible, without the tavers, without the papulim. Ramesh lined up 10 guys in MTJ, and he told them to put out their fists. And he measured their fists, and he said that the erich, whatever it was 3.6 in it. Does the tefach, 6 times that is 21.6 is an amash. That's it. So that's the number that we've been using. So we take out the tape measure, 21.6. We need Elliot, we need you for the math over here. So it's pulling out, I'm going 70, 80, another 150 times, 80, 81, 82. What's 21.6 times 4? What is it? A6.4, okay. So, what's that? 21 times 4 is what? 21 times 4 is 84. And then 0.6 times 4 is, so we got 86.4. What'd you do? Okay, so we're pulling it, but it's 84, 85. It stopped at like 86. We were like 0.4 short. I said, Bein Lekula Bein Lechumah. No mezuzah in this. So we did it again just to make sure we had the tape measure, like Erev Tchumen, to make sure we had it wasn't crumbling up. So as of now, that that doesn't have a mezuzah in that, that particular story. But there is. Oh, so now this is going to get very expensive. So now the shalom comes as follows. Yeah, we have to really, the Amazon should put this up for a, not even a board vote, but for a shul vote. This is the shul money. So as of now, we're working with the father. So big, much like it's a poskim. Let's say you have a room that Taka doesn't have dalamas, so what do you do now? So what do you do now? Most of it's part to finish. So the story doesn't end there. So there's Ahmed the Chamuri Daniel. Chamuri Daniel says that Bamed, Bamamurim, that's true. That there's no mezuzah. That's if it's not made to serve the purpose as a small room. But if that's what it does, let's go to Chazal Tashmishtayim. This is what it's supposed to do. So he dug up a Gemara beginning with a Sukh about Erev Tchumen, Ben Borger, and Baisaluch. He says, if you built it as a closet, so that's what you want it to be. A dal, a pachin, a dal, a dal. What the Gemara means is, I'm building a house. And I don't have enough room to build my house, so I'm never going to build myself a 2.5-hour house. That's great, you're a shogun, everybody thinks you're nuts. But if you build a closet, or you build a storage closet, that's only 3.5-hour, I'm a shogun. That's the size that I want. That's what says the plan. That's what the plan is to use in that way. So the Chamuri Daniel says, so then it's chayef, and the whole Torah of Dabba now falls by the wayside. So many, many people disagree with the Chamuri Daniel. It's raya from a Sechah Sukkah, it's a Rosh Hashanah Sukkah, it's not a raya. So that's a chiddush, the Chamuri Daniel. So Rabbi Kivager has this on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch. There's a little bit of a mystery about this line of Rabbi Kivager. It says in the Chiddush Rabbi Kivager, you read it in the Shulchan Aruch, that's exactly what it says. There's some kind of a tradition in the family of Rabbi Kivager that wasn't what he meant. I don't know what he meant. It's what he said. It says it in the Sefer, so we go with what it says in print, not what some kind of a tradition somewhere is coming from. So it's like Shtein Tosh Mechsav and Rabbi Kivager, that if you have a room that's less than Dalet by a Dalet, and you're not really chayiv in the room, but in permitting a room that's potter, let's say you have a room outside in the middle of nowhere, you have a house in the middle of nowhere, that's less by dalet by dalet. Say, let's the shed over here. So the shed outside here is just shy of dalet by dalet also. So it's potter. So you don't have to go in, and where else are you going to put it? You're not going out. Going out of the way, going out into the middle of the air. But if you have a room, you have a closet inside a house, so then make believe that that little room is like going outside. It's a nothing. It doesn't count. But now you chayv a mezuzah when you go from that room into the house. So therefore, Rabbi Kivager seems to say that whenever you have a small room that's a closet in a house, it requires a mezuzah catches on the left side. Normally, mezuzah put on the right side. Here, you put it on the left side because you're going from the inside the closet to inside the living room. That's a famous chumra of Rabbi Kivager. All those rooms that we thought were part of a mezuzah just became chayv just the other way around. So the post can qualify the Rabbi Kivager and say that only makes sense if you actually walk into the room. If you can't even lean in this, you have a tiny closet, you stick your hand in to get a coat, that's not chayav. That's not a mokum chzal, because it's besecha is derech b'yosli. You're not walking through the Pesach, that's a garnish. But if you have like these big walk-in closets, so the Rabbi Kivager is a chiddush that you should have the mezuzah going on the other side, coming from the closet into the house itself. That's a big question when we pass it from Kivager. So Maisha says, he says the whole thing is not correct. He says, if it's potter, it's potter. You don't have to flip around which way you're walking. The whole thing is potter and potter. But there are others who disagree. There are others who hold the Kivager. How do we hold? So when people ask me the Shaila, I ask them, you want to be machmir, but you don't want to be machmir. It comes an expensive chumra because a lot of people, we have a lot of closets, Baruch Hashem, most of the houses have a lot of closets. And a lot of them, they're almost never dalet by dalet. And they very often are these walking kinds of closets. Some closets have, depending whether they're walking or not, may depend on the demographics who lives in your home. So we have certain closets when we moved here that had mezuzahs on them because the kids used to run inside them. They used to fit into the hide and seek inside the closets. So I used to have mezuzahs and one or two of them I took off because the pasha, nobody ever, I didn't really take them off in the sense of like, just yank off mezuzahs. But I needed one of my mezuzahs, something happened to one of my mezuzahs, so I needed an extra mezuzah, so I yanked it off. The kids were already too old. No one would go in that room anymore, so I yanked it off. We have a room downstairs that it's this tiny, tiny like storage area that at first it was a base oitzer, and I feel it stopped being a base oitzer. Why? Even though there are things that are there, but they may not be there anymore, there were things that were there for quite some time, nobody was going in there. Why? That was the room that we kept all our cassettes, all the Moshe tapes were there. So that was, and its heyday, that was a very important room. We were going in all the time. As years went on, for multiple reasons, first of all, the kids outgrew Marvel Speeders Machine, and can't find a tape recorder anymore. And once the CD is stopped in the car, so you can't remember CDs, so you have 5,000 things sitting in the basement that nobody ever goes to. So at one time I needed an exposition, so I yanked it off the basement. I said, I'm not sure those CDs are still there. They could be if anyone wants them, they're more than free. Happy to take them. But so I remember I took them as off one of those rooms downstairs. So yes, some people follow the Shugega, some people don't follow the Shugega. So this started to add up. We have a lot of small closets in the next door that have this kind of a shaila. So the Mzak was this part of the acre, there were my shiva to Kapaska, that's potter. So I said, we're not Mukhuv Zashul to start laying out the balance and extra mezuzahs, you know, for these chumras and meiselach. I said, we'll take a meeting, we'll take a vote of the shul someday with anyone wants to. It's always funny when you have a shul kind of a policy. I've always found this like, as the Rav, it's like a funny kind of a thing. Like, there are certain shilas that reflect the tzibur. It's basically, the Chavis said tzibur, everyone is a member of the shul, you pay for the shul, so you're using the shul, so you become chayav and mezuzah. So it's a kind of a funny thing, is not everybody has the same standards about what he's doing, what chumras they want to take. So you know, we always have the shilas, Pesach time, we always have the shilas. Whether we should sell shul chametz or not. It's always a shaila. Should we sell shul chametz or chametz gomer? So the shul, Baruch Hashem, our shul doesn't own that much chametz gomer. Other shuls own a little bit, other kinds of chametz gomer. Or they hold like those posts that schnapps is not chametz gomer. But we're all year long. We don't have schnapps the whole year long, zero to Pesach. So we don't sell any chametz gomer as a shul. Why not? Because even though most people do sell chametz gomer, but I know there are many people in the shul who don't sell chametz gomer. Many people follow the practice not to sell chametz gomer. How do I know that? Because they tell me, Mishas Bechir Chometz. They start asking me, what is Chometz? So it's thought it's funny that here the Ktzais holds that Shul property is basically the member's property. We've talked about this in the past also, that the Sefer HaGudah holds that Shul property doesn't belong to the members. Shul property is a separate entity that belongs to them. It's a hektish type of thing. It's not personal property. It's not Mamon HaShutfin. And the Ktzais writes down to his Mamon HaShutfin. He said, it's a chotzer shutfin, it's a moment of shutfin. Everybody owns some of the farm, everyone owns a little bit of the food in the kitchen, everyone owns a little, whatever, what with shul money, it belongs to the individuals. So when you have a chametz that belongs to, technically, legally to Orat Torah, who does that belong to? So according to many poskim, it belongs to whoever pays their dues. So they have a share in the chametz. So it was found, it's a little bit funny. I know that a lot of people don't want to sell chametz gomer. So I feel it's a service to them. It's not right. Here they're getting rid of all the chametz gomer, and now they own stock in cookies and crackers and stuff that's sitting in the shul storage. And also until now, the chametz gomer was in my house. I wasn't interested in having that either in my house. But I said, until now, my policy always was, it was never all that much. My policy has always been that we try to follow the chumras for everybody. So we get rid of all the chametz gomer. Usually it's a question of a couple of crackers. So the last year or two, we had a little bit of a crisis over this practice that we had some stuff that belonged to the youth department, which is also Orat Torah property. And I was told, like the day before Pesach, that there's a little bit of chametz gomer there. Okay, how much? About a truckload full of I forgot what the can. What's the stuff that the food? Which is the stuff that's mamash chametz? Not the food envelopes. The Twizzlers. So Twizzlers is my flour. It's much chametz gomer. So there are about 4,000 Twizzler sticks. So what we did was, rather than throwing everything out, rather than selling chametz gomer, so there was somebody who was volunteered to take all the chametz gomer. He sells chametz gomer anyway, so he didn't feel that he's adding to his coolers. So he's selling chametz gomer anyway, so he was willing to take, become the buyer and all that. He was going away for Yom Tov, so we pulled up his car to the youth house and we loaded everything into his car, and then he drove his car off to his driveway and I put the car into the mechira. So we had about $1,000 worth of Twizzlers. It was probably the years before also. And so we've done this already 2 years. Because we wanted to make sure that nobody in the shul should feel that they own chametz gomer. So I don't know if we have to do that far, but this is also everyone in the shul feels they're Rebbe Kivega people, so they feel miserable. The rabbis being so megal. Most people. Well, not everyone aware of this Rebbe Kivega, never follows Rebbe Kivega. So, if you have a particular kapeda that you feel very guilty, you can't sleep at night because your storeroom in the shul that you may appoint to Ketzos have a chelik in, and this is not Rebbe Kivega. So, you can donate to Mezuzah there. We'll be happy to take your donation. We'll give you a plaque that you put up to Rebbe Kivega and Mezuzah. So, as of now, we're not. We may have a few extra Mezuzahs floating around, so we'll see what we'll do with them. But at least for the foreseeable future, we're gonna follow Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's psak. I think since we followed his Amos, we can follow his psak also. I think we'll be okay. Hey, I never feel so guilty about this because I think I'm the only one who's not doesn't own any mum in the shul. So I'm not officially a member of the shul. The rabbis and Evan are officially members of the shul. That's like the medic from Europe. So I'm on the membership list, but I think that's I don't have any violence in anything in the shul. So I don't feel bad that everyone's being made against Rick Reagan next to us. So we'll keep you posted if anything changes on that front. Okay. Don't tell them.